is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
This is Leland Statham from News Channel 5, and you've got to keep pen and paper ready for nonstop information for the country and community on What's the 411 with the award-winning Sharon Kay.
In the house. And the flesh. It's not pre-broadcast taped or any of that stuff. This live Sharon Kay. Hi. You know, this is our second time having to leave because of the pandemic up here. And I am, you know, working at home for some people is all good. But all you do is eat and get fat, okay? So I'm just making the statement. I know y'all are munching and crunching and eating and all that kind of stuff too. But it is so much of a blessing to be back in the house.
Yes, it is.
One more time. I feel like I'm in church, Lord. Anyway, how are you?
I can't complain. Excellent. And yourself?
Well, now that I'm in my spot, you know, this is my spot. I'm good. I'm just glad.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, I'm just glad. Still standing, and that's for real nowadays, y'all, for real. There's a lot going on. We'll be all trying to do as much as possible here on the show. You know, we're back, and, you know, we have to be flex, and whatever university says, we got to do it. So that's it. That's that, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Okay, yes, sir. So you all know to have jobs where you work. It's when they say you got to move, you got to move, move, move. But anyway, it is so good to be in the house. And things have changed for everybody. We'll discuss that later, in particular for us here. We still can't come in contact with you all as in come on down stuff. You know, we'll talk about that, but it's gonna be hard, you know. That's like,
yeah,
it's like, I can't see them, I can wave them at through the window, but we can't have any unauthorized people in our buildings for now as they prepare for the return of some of the students.
Yeah,
so they'll be returning here in the next couple of weeks, a little at a time. Anyway, having said that, a couple weeks ago, about 2.5, 3, when we were unable to come back, this guest or these guests were already scheduled. So I did not want them to think that for one second that I was just going to forget. And I went right back to where I left off. And I'm happy to have one of them with me right now. And let me welcome to the show. And, you know, I found out while we were chattering, me and Dr. Milton, that he has a home in Nashville.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
I'm like, hush your mouth. And so... hearing somebody say hush your mouth, you know what I mean. If you have a home in Nashville, Dr. Walter Milton Jr., he is the co-author of Black History 365 Curriculum, which we will be discussing on the show today with both of the authors. And Dr. Milton, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I can't brag and too afraid to complain.
And that's what's up, okay? Definitely, definitely. Now, what part of the U.S. are you in now?
Well, I live, I split my time in Bellevue, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, and also Arlington, Texas, contiguous to Dallas, Texas.
Okay,
and
so.
So, doing a lot of work down here.
In that area, you all are seeing a lot in terms of the pandemic, I know, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay, how's it? Is it locked down there, mask? What is it like there?
It's pretty bad here. I had a dose of it myself, actually.
Wow.
I just started feeling better last week, but I came down with it, and I had it for about 2 weeks, and it felt like I had the flu and a sinus infection at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah, but I feel a lot better now.
Good. How did you find out? Test?
Yeah, actually, the test, one thing that's really tricky about the test, you're already in the midst of it, and you don't get your results back until 5 to 7 days.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really, you know, you go through the process, but those people that are kind of asymptomatic and they find out, you know, that they have it, you know, the test reveals that. But I think that they have to find a way to have the test results quicker.
Yeah.
Because you can get tested, and then you find if you have it, you're in the midst of it already.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we had to get them before. We need to tell Dr. Joe to quit doing whatever he's doing. Sound like he was cleaning up the kitchen or something, or typing or something. hold on one second, Dr. Freeman.
Okay.
Because these phones are sensitive. Sometimes it picks up way too much. But anyway, having said that, that is a nationwide problem. We had to take tests before we could come back, and we got ours back in 3 days. But it's a kind of a nervous 3 days, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And instantaneous would be much better, or at least 24 hours, because you can't change your actions or your behavior that fast.
Right.
Now, that is one half, Dr. Milton, is one half of the Black History 365 curricula. The other half is a longtime guest and friend on the show. And I am so happy. I'm smiling from ear to ear right now. I am, because I was so happy. Because I'm like, oh, my God, I wondered where in the world, and I literally mean the world, that you were, Dr. Joel Freeman. And he had been on the show about 2 or 3 times over the years to discuss his book, Return to Glory, and the powerful stirring of the Black race. And that was so intense. And the discussion, I had to come on and have you back a couple more times, because people were so into, you know, what the contents of your book and all the things, the empowerment things that you were saying. You know, that had to be every bit of 12 or 13 years ago. You know that, right?
Yes, time has gone by so quickly.
Yeah.
So good to hear your voice.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that, you know, I still love you, and you guys still love me. <You know? laughs> That didn't change, and we all did.
Pick up right where we left off.
Yes,
right?
Definitely. Now, where in the world are you? What part of the country and whatever?
We're in Maryland, near Annapolis, and it's really interesting that, you know, Walter and I, we had connected about two decades ago. He was principal of, he served as a social studies teacher for 5 years, and then as a principal for 6, and then a superintendent of schools for close to 14 years.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, he was in Springfield, Illinois. And he brought me out to do some training for him and his cabinet.
Hmm.
And we had a wonderful time, and we connected. And then when he wanted to do a Black History curriculum, he called me.
Yeah.
And we just immediately, I mean, we kept in touch, and immediately we both knew this was something we had to do together.
Definitely.
So we've been over 2 years ago, and it's been pretty exciting to put together the curriculum and a lot of 12 to 16-hour days. A lot of love, of love, and a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, for both of you all, you know, this was probably just the pure delight for you, Joe, because of your interest in Black history, and of course for you, Dr. Milton, you're tied to education the way that you are. So this was almost like a divine thing, you know, don't you think? Come on.
Yes, true. Yeah, we have many moments that really signified that.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, so Dr. Milton, you are already familiar with Joel's Institute, with the artifacts and the different things inside that collection of his, and that's
absolutely
that seems rather brilliant to have that as part of the curricula, because you know the young people see, they can actually see it. That makes such a difference to people when they can, you know, visualize it.
Absolutely. And I think that our book is really rich image-wise. Joel's images are captivating. And the oldest image dates all the way back to 1553.
Mm.
And the images themselves tell a magnificent, powerful, horrific, and great story. They really do. And so the book is loaded with images. Mm. We have sidebar material, as well as something called the Elephant Experience that I'm hoping that Joel would talk about.
Okay.
But our curriculum is bar none. We start out with 9th through 12th grade. We will have our kinder through 8th grade developed in January.
Mm.
But we are moving towards high schools across the country, starting here in the state of Texas, because Texas passed legislation that they made it mandatory that every high school in the state has mm-hmm. to teach Black history,
mm-hmm.
and our textbook is at the forefront of that discussion.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Now, this 365, as in it could be not just during February Black History Month, but every day. Is that right, Dr. Joel?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. That's what it stands for. And we will love, since Nashville is part of my home, we would love to have the textbook in the city of Nashville, Nashville Metropolitan Schools, because we believe that it can turn around the student trajectory as well as student achievement in the district and make a deep and lasting impact on the lives of those children.
Well, for certain, their parents will be in on paying attention to it, because there's so much, you know, just looking at Unit 1, I'm like, man, I'd like to, you know, get in that class and you know, see that. I mean, hear about that. It starts with ancient Africa. And, Joel, this makes sense compared, I mean, I guess as you think about the work that you've done with Return to Glory and the artifacts and the research and travel that you've done over the years, you took it all the way back to the very beginning. Tell us about that, Joel, please.
Yes, you know, it's quite fascinating to see how, I know Walter and I, we talked over different things and how to put everything together, and it was something very quickly we knew that we had to start in ancient Africa. And the main reason is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that Black history started with slavery.
Right.
And so once, you know, the first unit, there's no pejorative images. We talk about hunting, gathering, mm-hmm. fishing, agriculture, manufacturing, the creative genius. Mm-hmm. And then the way civilizations develop and the way food is grown and captured and then brought into, you know, different towns and villages begin to crop up around water and around agriculture and around
mm-hmm.
trading routes.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things grow, you know, then we begin to realize that, you know, things are developing in a wonderful way. And
mm-hmm.
so then now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the
mm-hmm.
last four centuries
mm-hmm.
here in America. And so then there's a whole kind of a timeline from ancient Africa, wending its way through slavery, the trade, through up to the Civil War, through the Civil War into Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th, 14th, 16th, 15th Amendments, Reconstruction, the breakdown of Reconstruction with the Tilden-Hayes presidential election, and then we have we start moving into the late 1800s, early 1900s, into the realm around the Harlem Renaissance and the movement, the migration north, and then the migration west, and then we get into pre-civil rights struggle, and of course all Supreme Court situations around Plessy v. Ferguson and Brown v. Board of Education and Sweat v. Painter. And there's many layers to it. And then we get into arts, entertainment, sports, entrepreneurship, wealth versus income, and prison industrial complex, the use of chain gangs for road construction and building construction. And then we also give a nod to all 50 states. We call it the 50 stars. And then the final, which is very special to me because I was raised in Canada, we call it the North Star. Because what we discovered in our research is that most Black history curricula, they give kind of a paragraph or two, you know, a nod to Canada. But we wanted to spend a whole, we have a whole timeline from 1600 on, filled with all kinds of images and the people moving from the south to the north, the fugitive slave laws pushing people into Canada, and then it's ranging from the Hogan's Alley in Vancouver all the way to Africville in Halifax on the east coast. And the stories of people, how they sometimes are even guided by visions and dreams of who to trust, what house to stop at, and the way even God's hand was involved in all of that is quite fascinating.
Well, I'm fascinated already. I'm like, well, sign me up. Because I just, you know, I'm a huge fan of Black history, or history period, but Black history in particular, because it is really going to set the record straight when we are rid of revisionist history and we finally get to get the real. And instead of all this flowery foolishness, we want to know what happened, and I think it will just make the world a better place. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to ask both of you all to comment on, you know, this is a Black History Daily curriculum, and white people are not, some of them are having a hard time saying Black Lives Matter. So I'm just saying, I want y'all to comment, because it's like we trying to take away their white life. No, we know y'all's has always mattered, so that's not the point. We're trying to get a little love, too. Oh, my God. Anyway, we want to further discuss the new curriculum, BH365 or Black History 365. An inclusive account of American history. And I'm so delighted to have the co-authors of this lovely tool for education, Dr. Walter Milton Jr. and Dr. Joel Freeman. And they both have worked diligently on this. And I'm just happy as a clam, because there's no excuse for the schools now. Let's take a time out. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Report of an accident where cars overturned northbound on 109 there in Sumner County, pretty close to Pumping Station Road. Again, this just happened a few minutes ago there in Sumner County. Watching it build pretty good at times here on 40 eastbound as you make your way out past the airport, headed back into Hermitage and Donelson. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Jazzy 88 WFSK is reminding you that your vote is your voice. Early voting for the state and federal primary runs from July 17th through August 1st. Important seats for various offices are on this year's ballot. If you're a registered voter and do not wish to vote in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic, you are eligible to request an absentee ballot by mail. It must be completed and received in the Davidson County Election Commission office by July 30th. You also have the option to vote in person during early voting or on election day. And again, WFSK, Nashville's Jazz Station, is reminding you that your vote is most definitely your voice. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Oh, actually, you know, I was in there chatting, entertaining as I could do so.
Yeah,
well.
See.
I had to, you know, keep my eye on your side so you can cue me. And don't turn this on until you cue me, because you know you don't tell them what I'm saying, Lord. You know, I am how I am and what I am, and ain't no sense in putting on now. It's too late. Anyway, this is an absolutely fabulous tool for education. BH365, Black History 365, and both of the founders and authors of it are with me right now. And we want to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel Freeman. And he is author of several books and projects and things of that nature. And his co-founder and author, Dr. Walter Milton. Now, before I get the answer to that question, Joel, could you tell the audience what the Freeman Institute is, please?
Yeah, it's basically how I met Walter. I speak all around the world. I've traveled over 55 countries and lead tours of Israel and Greece and all the kinds of different things. But it's Freeman Institute is made up of seven words, my brand, dealing with people who drive you crazy. Hmm. That's what I do, is I help people deal with the people that drive them crazy. And that happens a lot in corporate America, corporate settings, mm-hmm. faith-based, nonprofit, government agencies, all kinds of organizations. So that's how we met Walter, and you know, doing some training for his organization. Okay. Then of course we ended up doing this curriculum project together.
Yeah, excellent. And Walter, and do you mind if I call you by your first name?
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Okay, I have no problem with that.
I don't want to get my doctors mixed up. You know, I just call you.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're perfect.
Okay. All right, because I feel like I know you already.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and most definitely. And for you, in being in education, I want to put the question to you first that I asked before the break about here you come with this curricula, and it's about black folk. And we are so tired of hearing some of the white folk, I'm sure, because the way they're carrying on about Black Lives Matter. It's clear that the word black is like kryptonite to some people. And so how is this, when you try to present it in these different school districts and places across the country, how you think how's this going to work?
Well, that's a great question. And one of the things that that we have designed that allays their fears is this whole notion that we're going to provide professional development that goes along with the book. So we're not just trying to plop books down in school systems. We're telling them that we will help you implement the book. We know that the majority of history or social studies teachers are white males. Right. So we have a professional development model that's really designed to hit the spirit and the intrinsic part of who they are, mm-hmm. so that they can be dynamic educators to put forth this information. Mm-hmm. This country will never, ever move anywhere if it's not a broad-based recognition True. Of the contributions that our ancestors have made in this country and building this country. And so I think that this is a golden opportunity to really celebrate that. And it's an opportunity for all people to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. And it has some major significance. That's why we have the word inclusive, an inclusive part mm-hmm. of American history. Mm-hmm. You know, an intricate part of American history. So it's important.
Same question for you, Joel, as it relates to difficulty you may or may not have, because it's about black history and folks are having trouble with black right now in their minds.
Well, my response is that when you're in a jar, you can't read the label.
True.
Walter and I have been in the jar for the last 2.5 years or so, and just hunkered down doing what we're doing and putting this labor of love together, kind of a love letter to students across the country, a love letter of truth and common sense.
Sure.
And so what happened is that as we started traveling around, meeting with superintendents and other key decision makers in the education discipline, They were using words like groundbreaking and historic mm-hmm. and, you know, things like we weren't even conscious of that kind of stuff. You know, we're just doing our what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And we were told by some that this is the first time in the history of our country and history of the United States that there's been a comprehensive black history curriculum mm-hmm. that has student engagement, teacher training, K-12, you know, that checks all the boxes. And so if that's true, and we're not claiming it is or anything like that, but mm-hmm. if that's true, I think the reason why there has not been a curriculum of such a magnitude mm-hmm. and with so many layers is because of all the fear, the angst, the concern, questions, you know, you can be too militant, not militant enough. You mm-hmm. can be right, left, up, down, all around. And what we did was we early on, we did a SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And with a special view to the potential weaknesses and threats of the project. And we actually built certain things around the curriculum and in the curriculum and around it so that we could meet the concerns of a superintendent, mm-hmm. a key decision maker, a board around this topic. Hmm. Because literally everybody has an opinion one way or another sure. Or in between or yeah. about this particular topic. Yeah. So what we did is in the curriculum, around the curriculum, we developed an advisory board made up of people like Ambassador Andrew Young, mm-hmm. George Frazier, Kathy Hughes with Radio 1 TV 1, the former VP of Houghton Mifflin, Mr. Griffin, Paul Griffin. We have another historian, Dr. Marvin Delaney, on our advisory board. Mm-hmm. We have the grandson of Alex Haley, Bill Haley Jr. We have the great-great nephew of Annie Malone, the one who taught Madam C.J. Walker, Agbara Bryson. We have the niece of Martin Luther King, Alveda King. Her father, A.D. King, was martyred in the struggle for civil rights. And we have just a number of people on our advisory board that can bring a sense of, oh, my goodness, you know, with, if all these people are involved in some way, mm-hmm. in a tangential way, but still specifically lending their name and their legacy to this. In mm-hmm. fact, you know, like Ambassador Andrew Young, he has 32 films mm-hmm. that represent his life work. Mm-hmm. 12 of those films are about civil rights with uncut footage, you know, raw footage, all kinds of things that people haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And then other films about Africa, like Rwanda Rising. And guess what? He gave us the exclusive opportunity to offer these films for free to students, anyone involved in this curriculum. And so that, and then internally, we created the Elephant Experience that is designed to help with four areas. The first area is that we want to invite students, educators, parents, anybody that's involved with this in some way to become a critical thinker. Number two, to become a compassionate listener. Number three, to become a fact-based, respectful communicator. And number four, that's built on the first three, to become an action-oriented solutionist. Hmm. And that those four things have informed everything we've done about this particular curriculum. And the Elephant Experience is filled with topics that have vexed our country for centuries, topics that people end up talking at or past each other, and they cancel each other, or they block each other on Facebook or something like that over a topic. And it's three-fifths of the human being. It has to do with walking while black. Are we in a post-racial society after a black president of two terms? Mm-hmm. What about the N-word? What about reparations? What did blacks sell blacks into slavery in Africa? Mm. You know, topics like this. Should we tear the statues down or leave them up? Was the Willie Lynch letter, was that fact or fiction, and does it matter? You know, those are the topics, and we get them, we prepare them in advance. Yeah. First, we prepare the teachers with professional development so they can do the necessary archaeology internally to handle the situation in the classroom and to understand what's going on and let the curriculum do the heavy lifting and trust the process. And then we also have the students create their own set of rules of engagement made up of we will not statements, then identify the top 40 to 50 elements of good communication, feedback, and asking questions. Yeah. And then they develop their own talking stick so that whenever they reach the deal with the Elephant Experience topics, that they can deal with them effectively and in a way where, once again, where it's more healing than division.
I still don't think that for the diehard white people that are just stuck on this stuff, that they're going to, and they make up the school boards and they make the decisions on the purchases of the curricula and things of that nature. And I just... go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, we did a study. I meant to mention that earlier. We did a study, and we wanted to look at districts in the South. So we had several districts, and we had a Likert scale survey where we measured the responses that white teachers, white employees made in terms of the if they would support something of this magnitude. And then we did the same thing with white students, and black educators. And what we found was an overwhelming amount of support in terms of the Likert scale surveys being filled. But we believe that this is a solution. And I think that white, black, or indifferent, they are looking for solutions. Mm-hmm. Because one thing about it, our young people, they're not having it anymore.
Right.
They want clarity. They want truth. And they're not going to stop by any means until they have that. And we think that we can provide them exactly what they need with our curriculum.
Well, and you know, the beauty of it is the once all the truth and everything is on the table, then, you know, it should be a much better feeling. They can just chill out, just calm down. And knowing that, you know, everything people have been hiding and lying about and stuff for years is over. The jig is up. And, I mean, it's just, I think people would be relieved at some level. And some may want to go into a state of denial about this and think that this history, this stuff is not true and not real. I can remember some years back when Newt Gingrich made that ridiculous statement that black people didn't help build this country. And, you know, I just about fell out on my sofa because, I mean, that's the craziest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And, that's the mindset of the people that are the decision makers. So how will you meet that challenge? And that's for Joel and for you, Dr. Milton.
Hey, Walter, why don't you take that?
Well, I think the way that we are meeting that challenge, we're meeting it head on.
Okay.
Because those are the people that we are that we are interfacing with.
Yeah.
We had an opportunity to talk to an assistant superintendent of Amarillo ISD down here in Texas, and he said, hey, you know, for over 40, 50 years, the problem has been the black and white achievement gap. And we haven't done anything to close that gap. But after listening to you guys and seeing your material, we believe there's a high probability that you can help us close that gap.
Mm.
And that's how it's going to have to work because it can't stand anymore. Mm. I think that we've seen several examples that this is a new day. You said that the jig is up. Yes, it is. And it's a day that we have to come to the forefront of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joel and I, you know, talk about the urgency of being truth-centric.
Yes.
And we believe that rooted in that whole motto of truth-centric is doing what's right for the human spirit and really hitting people from a place of intrinsic worth opposed to extrinsically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. You all have it covered just extensively. I am just impressed with the level of the topics and how everything flows and how the, you know, this layout is just beautiful. I'm already looking at chapter 37, Canada's Black Settlement. And I think you mentioned that early on, Joel, about the blacks enslaved in Canada. And being so, that's your home, right?
I'm originally from Alberta, yes.
Okay.
I grew up there and played ice hockey and lived in a little town of 2,000 people with, we had no movie theater.
Yeah.
We were 80 miles from a big city, and it was pretty incredible upbringing.
How was that part of the reason why you wanted to include the fact that there were enslaved blacks in Canada?
Well, what we did with the reason why we did this is because we just felt it was an area that was missing in because America tends to be American centric, and you know, just coming from Canada, I remember as a kid just talking about, you know, kids would say, which is better, Canada or America? And there was a whole thing going on when I was fifth grade. I remember having a debate about that out in the schoolyard. But to really understand the situation, the people were escaping slavery in the South. They then come north, and then because you have the Dred Scott decision, you have the fugitive slave laws, you have all these different things developing. They don't feel safe in the north even, so now they've got to go to Canada. And that's where they go to St. Catharines, they go to Ottawa, Toronto. And then you have the Oromente settlement, you have the Don settlement with Josiah Henson, you have your Africville, as I mentioned, you have all these different settlements developing in Canada. And then you have someone by the name of Benjamin Drew in 1853-54. He traveled all around that part of the main Ottawa, you know, that main part of Canada, interviewed hundreds of people, and 141 stories made it in his book called Refugee. And it's like a timestamp. It's amazing reading these stories. He even interviewed Harriet Tubman before she became known as Harriet Tubman, the general. And so there's a whole half a page just with her talking. So it's just, it's a really great, and then many of them are becoming very successful. Some owned rental property, you know, where they were renting out to people, and others became successful in business, education, politics. It was amazing what was happening. in Canada. So it's important for people to understand the story. And then, of course, there were some times where they just couldn't make it. There's different situations that developed, personality clashes and things like that, just real human stuff. We try to share that story.
Well, it could be some of our relatives, you know. We just don't
know.
That's
right. It's very true.
Because it's a small world, y'all, after all. We're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. Report of an accident where cars overturned northbound on 109 there in Sumner County, pretty close to Pumping Station Road. Again, this just happened a few minutes ago there in Sumner County. Watching it build pretty good at times here on 40 eastbound as you make your way out past the airport, headed back into Hermitage and Donelson. This traffic report is brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's jazz station. And our community partners, the Frist Art Museum and the Metro Health Department, are having a mask giveaway on Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We'll be live on location at the Frist Museum, 919 Broadway, outside in the valet drive-thru. All you have to do is drive through, get your free mask, and go. We're doing our part for the community. That's our community mask giveaway Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's one of our ways to encourage Nashvillians and visitors to the city to mask up for health's sake in slowing down the COVID-19 pandemic in our city.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Hello, Nashville. Coming up Sunday morning at 7, news headlines and issues of the day. Then at 7:30, it's the 411 Show's Pastors Roundtable for the month of July. Guest pastors are Reverend Leon Corder of Swift Tabernacle and Reverend Jerry Maynard of Southside Community Church.
That's What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, twice a week, every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411? Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. And a serious reminder to you that What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And this afternoon, several weeks back when we had to leave early from the campus, the this guest and this topic was scheduled. So once we were able to get back in, I knew that so many of you that enjoyed subject matter in this realm would certainly want to hear about this new educational tool Black History 365 curriculum that is rolling out in various places across the country, and maybe hopefully one day it can roll out in this region. And the co-authors of the wonderful tool are with me, Dr. Walter Milton Jr. and Dr. Joe Freeman, founder and co-founder of the K-12 curriculum. And now, before, I was thinking about this during the break, and I wanted to make sure I brought it up. When a teacher, because I heard, I think, Walter, a little bit of, you mentioned a little bit of how you're going to be working with the classroom and the schools and all that. When a teacher gets this or school gets this, how would you all distributed, or how do they fix their calendars and schedules and times and dates and all that to be able to squeeze in this time daily? And how much time would it be devoted to this daily?
That's a great question. The state of Texas is a lot easier because they have, really worked hard to pass legislation to make sure but this is a mandatory in every high school throughout the state. Mm. And, you know, Texas is a huge state. They have well over 2,000 school districts. Mm-hmm. So, and many of those districts have multiple high schools, like Nashville. But so we work with the teachers. We train the teachers how to use it. So we provide a lot of support. Mm. We help with the implementation process of the book. And we also help with the book instructionally. So oftentimes the book can be used as a supplement to the main textbook, mm-hmm. or what have you, or it can be a core textbook, mm-hmm. if they offer the course. So what we're doing, we are making sure that we cover all of our bases. For those school districts that may not have a course that this textbook could fit in, we ask them, can we teach an academy or train their staff on the academy model that we call the Solutionist Academy, hmm. where we would train the students on the weekend, on Saturdays, or after school, depending on the school district. And we could use the Title I dollars, Title IV, or 21st Century dollars, hmm. out of the budget that would be less taxing on the school district. So those are ways that we said that, hey, we're going to cover ourselves. Also, that I really want to highlight, we have technology embedded throughout the entire book. We have something called QR codes, hmm. where kids can use their phones, and it can take them on a journey that they've never been on. You know, visiting different sites and other things that we have tied, mm-hmm. to the written text of the book. Also, we have a Grammy Award-winning producer by the name of Kale Kevin Kate. He's done work with Jay-Z, Drake, T.I., Snoop Dogg, and the like. He's making all the music for the textbook. So every unit will be opened up with a song, mm-hmm. and students will have the ability to listen to a song that's going to introduce that part of history to them.
Oh, that's what I knew with the children. You was going to have some music in there because they weren't going to have it without no music. And they must be entertained at all times. So, and I
absolutely.
And I noticed something else too as I'm flipping through portions of it, that you also have images on there that would be that they can certainly recognize in themselves. You know, with the age of the students being from, K up to 12. I mean, you know, this looks like a middle school girl on one of these photos here. And you all have them all throughout the entire curricula, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, Joel, could you tell me, now I'm on page 31, and here I go digging in people's pages and everything, but I'm curious. There's so much to talk about, but when I got to this African peoples representing the various entities indigenous people throughout the continent of Africa. This is most interesting what you have. Is this from your collection, or it says published in 1885? Tell me more about this.
Yes, my collection is image rich. As was mentioned, my wife and I have over 3,000 documents and three-dimensional artifacts, as Walter mentioned, going back to 1553. And so in creating my collection, and I've done exhibits twice at the United Nations with over a million visitors, three times at the White House, twice at the Clinton Presidential Library, Secret Service, Department of Justice, all kinds of different venues around the country. And so I kind of have a sense of what people are very interested in. Mm-hmm. And so the images have some books from the 1800s and prior to that. And as I was putting together the collection, I think I was probably thinking about doing something like this. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't conscious, but I remember getting different images and thinking, my goodness, this would make a great book someday. Never imagining that I'd be part of co-founding BH365 with someone like Walter Milton and putting this together. So the images are very important because you have the words and then you have the music, and they provide the music along with then KO takes it to another realm where he's a multi-platinum Grammy Award winning producer, as Walter said, and he's going to be providing literal music to the music and the words.
Well, this actual picture I'm talking about has 28 different photos or images of Africans.
Yes, I'll tell you the story behind that.
Okay.
I was speaking at a conference for ESIS in The Hague in Netherlands. ESIS is the European Council of International Schools. Mm. And so generally what I do when I travel, I either front load or back load the trip with extracurricular travel. And I usually take a member of my family or a friend with me on these trips. And my wife is always, welcome to come on these trips that I go around the world. And we've traveled to many, many wonderful places. But mm-hmm. I took a day off and went back to visiting in Amsterdam. And there was a side street, that I went down that had some bookshops and some rare document dealers. And that's where I generally go to when I'm traveling in Europe or some other part of the world. Mm. And I happened upon this image, and I just couldn't take my eyes off it. I thought, wow, this would look good in a book. And that's where I acquired that image. And it's written in Dutch, and so I had to do the translation on Google or Babelfish, I think it was, Google Translate, and to figure out what it was talking about so that, all those images, that it's like this one person represents someone from Ethiopia, this is someone more Bantu from Angola, another one might be from South Africa, another one might be a Kru, another one Hausa, Mandingo, and it just shows the rich panoramic view of peoples throughout the continent of Africa, which of course, they're living, this is pre-colonial time, this image was, even though the book was published a little bit later, but it was a time where you had people in kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines of Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just, as far as somebody having a conception of what Africans look like, this would certainly shut their lips, because this is so from, from top to bottom, it would make you just think differently of how the head dresses are and the way they all have different characteristics and features. Because, people used to say to us, and they probably still do, we all look alike. And Lord knows that's not true. And it's real clear when I look at these 28 different indigenous people on here representing different parts of the continent.
We've actually formed a kind of a collaboration with AfricanAncestry.com, where they do DNA, and they use Dr. Rick Kittle's database exclusively, and he's the type of person that could go into a mall and see people of African descent walking around shopping and just say, well, that person is from the Bantu. That's someone from Eritrea, you know, that area, that's Nigerian, could be Hausa or Igbo, you know, so it's amazing the way he can figure out just by looking at someone what part region of the continent of Africa they originated from.
No question. And Milton, when your team comes down, how much advance does a school system need? Is this the decision made at the beginning of the year and then started from that point, or how does that work, Milton?
Did I? Yes. Can you ask that question again?
Yeah. No. What I was trying to figure out is how would they? Because we know we have not enough time in that school day, and fitting this in, and if they're already taking a history class, I don't know if students still take them or not, or civics or something of that nature. Is this to be combined into it?
Yeah, it could be a core subject, meaning a main course, or it could be a supplemental. It could be an add-on to the textbook or the curriculum that already exists. Yep. But one thing about our book is so large that school districts can teach out of it for 4 years.
Wow, four.
So a kid from ninth grade all the way through 12th grade.
Is this basically designed to, excuse me, among the many reasons why you designed it, every Black History Month, every year, as long as I can remember, as long as I've been on the air, people say, always have said, there's not enough resources and tools. Schools don't know. Kids grow up and say, we didn't learn that in school. Is this a way to change that mindset, that dynamic, that cannot be an excuse anymore?
Yes, we've taken away that excuse and tossed it in the garbage. I mean, they can't use that one anymore because they have something that is so full and so comprehensive and so unique, because we are teaching aspects of history that have never been taught before.
Yeah. Well, and that's like when the situation in the Greenville, the Black Wall Street and all, and that celebration and all the things that went around about that. People would say to me, or I hear them say, they didn't teach us nothing about that in school. And but this will change it. This will certainly, it'll be a new day and a welcome addition, a new day.
And what's beautiful about this, Sharon, is that as Walter alluded to, the Solutionist Academy, that even faith-based organizations, Big Brother, Big Sister, community-based organizations, anyone can get involved in that and have access to the professional development.
Okay.
You know, and so that way a whole community could come around this particular topic. It's not just for school systems, even though that's what we designed it for.
Okay.
But the Solutionist Academy allows, because we're using the LORTS principle, LORTTS, which stands for Listen, Observe, Read, Think, Speak, Solve. Mm. And that's the whole process we bring the students through as we use this, and it allows us to be that much more creative and do a lot of community work. Yeah. And then also this fall, we're implementing a video contest where the first prize is $3,000, second prize $1,500, third prize $500, and then 25 consolation prizes, and all across the country, 12 to 18 years of age. Mm-hmm. We launched this September, and people can go to our website, bh365.org, and they can register for it. And then young people, teachers can get their, and parents and homeschoolers and all the rest can get their kids, the students involved in creating a 90-second video.
Okay.
That can't be more than 90 seconds. And that's the kind of thing that we're going to be doing. And we're just kind of skipping stones off the water of the
sure.
pond
yeah.
With you on this. But we have a very deep and wide concept that
yeah.
we're working on. And we have a team right now of about 43, 44 experts. And people can go on our website, bh365.org.
Yes.
And they can take a look at the quality of the education and experience that
yes.
each team member brings.
Absolutely.
You know, teamwork makes the dream work. That's the way Walter
Amen.
And I figure.
Amen. And that's a true, true fact. Now, finally, lastly, in the remaining seconds I have, if someone is interested in having a conversation with you or interested in having a demonstration, what's the easiest and quickest way to get that done? Either one of you.
Walter?
Go ahead, Joe. No, Joe, you go ahead with the address.
Okay, yeah. Probably the best thing is to reach out on the website. I say it's bh365.org. And I say that because we're on radio and it's easy for people to remember. B stands for black, H stands for history, 365 days, bh365.org. And then they can, once they access that, then they can realize that we probably will be having an open house,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then we got one, for instance, this Friday, but I want to timestamp this program because we're having periodic open houses as the time goes by.
Okay.
So people can register for that. And once they register, they show up. It's 11 o'clock Central Time, and then again, 2 o'clock Central Time.
Excellent.
And then they can ask any questions. They can see the length, depth, breadth of the whole program, the process, and
yeah.
the project that we have, and get real excited and then share the word around
Excellent.
Far and wide across the country, because everybody, you know, we're all 6 degrees of separation.
That's true.
So people in Nashville, they know people in Atlanta, Texas,
yeah. all
Chicago,
over.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Share the news.
Definitely. Thank both of you, and I will put the link and information on the 401 show, SharonK's401.com website. And make sure our listeners know that are listening to the broadcast. And, of course, it'll be up on the podcast, Sharon K's 401 Broadcast, Podcast Broadcast. And Dr. Joel Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton Jr., thank you so much for this rich educational gift that you have given us. And you're both just a blessing. And I'll be talking again to you soon. You think that it's going to be 10 years? No.
No, Sharon. we'll keep you. You're very near and dear to us, so
thank
we'll keep you,
you
in tune
Absolutely.
With what's going
yeah,
on.
Thank
some
you.
Of the ways that we're growing.
Excellent. All right. Have a
Absolutely.
Wonderful. You help both. Have a wonderful rest of the day. Okay.
Thank you. God bless you, Sharon.
Okay. Thank you. This is such a beautiful tool. And I'm out of time, and I'm going to, you know how I'm going to do. I'm going to have to talk to him again. This thing is outstanding. I mean, just, and I've had curriculums and curriculums and curriculums on this show, okay? This shuts it down. Okay, let's get our quick news, and then we got our community news, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.